Anything combat with Johnny K.
But it's anything combat, though.
Welcome back, combatants, to the Anything Combat Show, where we discuss everything mixed martial arts. I'm your fucking host, Johnny K. Today's episode 150. We're joined by UFC cutman Brad Tate. How you doing, Brad?
I'm doing well, man. How you guys doing? Glad to see you guys. Glad to hear from you guys.
I'm good, dude. So are you still training nowadays?
I work out, but I've never fought mixed martial arts, brother. I played football and I've worked out, but like, you know, I'm just your average old guy. So
you were on Tough, right?
Yeah, I was. I was there when GSP was GSP and Koscheck were on the show. I forget what season it was, but yeah, I was there for the Tough one.
Wait, were you the cut man on the show, or were you fighting on the show?
I was not. I never fought. I was just a guest of GSP. So I was actually really cool with George and those guys back then. So I wasn't even actually in the UFC as a cut man.
I see. How'd you meet George?
I met him in Albuquerque. I was a firefighter paramedic in the city. And I was giving guys IVs when it was legal at the time. So after they would cut weight, I would just give them IVs. And George was super cool and he was super gracious and he just let me tag along. And then, like I said, once that kind of happened is kind of how I got into the sport. It was by chance. It wasn't like I was actually trying to be a cut man. I was like, you know, when guys ask me, I just tell them I was right time, right place.
Are you happy with how everything's turned out?
Oh, yeah, man. Everything's turned out amazing. Like, oh, man, it's amazing. I'm super happy. Like, I was just talking about that today. Like, you know, I never knew that. I never in my wildest dreams thought that something like this would happen. But I'm just fortunate, man. I'm blessed. Again, it's one of those things where I didn't know, you know, like who knew that this would happen? And it's been a whirlwind, but it's been so much fun. I mean, I love going to work. I love what I do. I enjoy it more than anything. So that's a gift in itself. Like I say that all the time, man. If you find something you love or like and you do it, you'll never work again. So, and I'm staying true to that. Like, I don't feel like I have to work at all.
When did you meet Gilbert? When did you become friends with him?
I really don't know, man. Like, I got to do a better job of, like, all the time keeping at this stuff. But I don't really know. Like, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I know everything kind of happened with me when I became friends with Rashad Evans. And, like, when he started his gym and being in South Florida and all that kind of stuff. Those guys kind of, you know, Henry Hoof and all those guys. So, again, like, my appreciation, man. Like, this career of mine wouldn't have happened without guys like a Rashad Evans or GSP, Henry Hoof, Mike Winklejohn taught me how to right hands, Greg Jackson inviting me into the gym, and Greg Jackson even trusting me with his fighters. So, like I said, like, when people ask me about this, like, it really was a blessing. It was something. Somebody or someone had a higher calling for me. I didn't go out and look on the internet and be like, how can I be a UFC cut man or how can I be a cut man? It was just so many things happened that allowed me to do it. And it was because of these people, even Burt Watson giving me my opportunity. So, I mean, now that the sport has grown to where it's at, you know, I can't tell you that the avenue that I use will even work now because, you know, it's kind of closed off to that. But, you know, like I said, again, I'm thankful. I'm even thankful for like a Gilbert, you know, Gilbert trusting me to wrap his hands and Gilbert befriending me and doing that. Like, it's helped my career, you know? And so the UFC is honestly, man, it's truly a family that fights. I mean, from the guys with the blue shirts, from the security staff to the guys that you don't even see that goes to the shows. There's so much that goes into us for us to put on a production. And it's just amazing.
Why do you think people trust you, Brad?
I don't know. I guess I could say it because it's as real as it gets. I very much want to do a good job. I'm all about doing a good job. I take pride in doing that. And it's just how you, I guess for the lack of words, it's how you vibe with someone. you know, again, you just cultivate those relationships. And then as you do and you continue to do, you gain that confidence and they gain confidence in you. And you know, it's a process. It's a building process. I mean, you will always constantly, you know, build. And so you meet a guy for the first time, you wrap his hands and he likes it. He's successful. And then he calls you back and you learn a little bit more every time you're in contact with these people, you know. So to be honest with you, to the support staff and not the fighters, I'm talking about like the coaches and the people with the blue shirts and people in admin that are behind the scenes, we spend more time with each other than we actually do with our own families. I mean, the show is, there's no off season in the MMA.
Are you stressed out in your job?
No, dude, I love my job. There's no, I mean, there are some factors, but I mean, no, man. Like, I, for me, I know there are stressors in the job, and I know people are stressed, but like, no, like me, I love it. I mean, I'm at the fight. I mean, people are paying $70 or whatever it is to watch the fight. I get a front row seat. I mean, fans are screaming, and the fans make it fun. I mean, the fighters make it fun, goofing off, playing. I mean, it's kind of like people don't come to UFC fights to be stressed out. You know, nobody's there to have a bad time. So, I mean, you watch it, you enjoy it. What you can do, you can. What you can't, you can't.
Can you find a time? Can you tell us about a time that when you were in the UFC where something happened that was really stressful?
I don't know, man. Good question. I mean, you're asking some definitely good questions. I mean, I mean, why do you want it to be stressful? Like, I just told you, like, I love what I do. Why do you want me to find stress in a job that I love doing? There is no stress. I mean, I'm sorry. Like, there's nothing there for me to tell you that's like, oh, like, what would be stressful? Like, I'm not fighting and I don't have anything on the line. So this is not that kind of job and this is not that kind of event for me. You know, I go there, I have a good time, I see my friends, I wrap their hands, and I go from there, and I'm just enjoying myself. So when you see the smile on my face, it's definitely genuine.
With the Gilbert fight, the most recent one that he had with JDM, what did you take from that fight?
On any given day, it could be somebody else's night. You fight to the end. Burt Watson had this saying, you know, don't leave it to the judges. So again, I'm the cut person. I love Gilbert, and everybody knows that. It's no shock how I feel about Gilbert. I'm disappointed that he lost, but you know, that's the sport. That's the sport. That's what those guys signed up for. And just like Gilbert's a great fighter, the other guy's also coming up in his own. And I mean, he showed a lot of respect in beating Gilbert. Gilbert showed a lot of emotion in the defeat. But yeah, it was a sour note, but I'm also happy. But Gilbert will fight another day. And it's how Gilbert and those guys take those losses that make it easier for me. But I'm just there, you know. I help everybody, and I'm there to make sure my job is done. And that's it. So I don't, you know. Yes, I want Gilbert to win. I want all my friends to win. But I'm also happy for the guy that also won. So, again, I don't know what, like, there's no bias in me. Like, that's not what I'm paid to do. So, you know, Gilbert's a friend of mine, but I have no problem with the other guy fighting him either. Like, it's a sport at the end of the day. You know, I'm friends with several guys in the NFL. I'm a Cowboy fan, but when my friends on other teams play the Cowboys, I want them to have great games. I mean, that's just how it is.
Do you think JDM will fight for the title?
If he keeps winning, I mean, isn't that kind of what has to happen? I mean, what do you think is going to happen if he keeps winning?
What's going to happen is that Shavkat has 18 fight win streak and JDM has a 17 fight win streak. To be honest, I don't really want to put them against each other because then we lose out on two different, you know, contenders fighting for the belt.
But that's what makes the sport great. So, I mean, those guys' paths is going to have to cross eventually. It's kind of like the jungle. I mean, the younger lions will eventually attack the older lions. That's Dana's new job, and they've done a great job. So, like, I'm not going to sit here and, like, I don't do that. Like, that's not my mentality. I'm not – what Dana and his staff do, I show up and wrap their hands and keep it moving. So if he keeps winning, eventually he has to fight for a title. If Shavkat keeps winning, eventually he has to fight for a title. If Shavkat gets the title, this guy wants the title. So eventually their paths will have to cross. So I think it's going to be a great fight when it happens. I mean, so the UFC has done a great, amazing job at making fights. So I'm going to let them continue to do that, and I'm just going to keep wrapping hands.
You know that moment when Koscheck grabbed you by the neck or the face? Do you still have beef with Koscheck?
I don't have beef with anyone, man. That was how many years ago? I mean, and if I'm going to be honest with you, Koscheck did me a favor. So, I mean, now everybody knows who I am. And I don't have the energy or the capacity to hold on to grudges like that. I mean, I wish him all the best. I mean, he's one of the few people that left MMA and you've never heard from again. Because whatever he did was smart. He was smart with his money, and he was whatever. Like, he wasn't fighting past his prime, and he's still there. So, I mean, I wish him all the best. I'm also thankful for, I mean, because nobody knew who I was, and that's kind of what it is. So, I mean, he did me a favor. So, no, there's no beef there or anything like that.
When did you realize that you really loved MMA?
To be honest, when I first started, I didn't really know. Like, when it first came on, I remember, like, I think it was UFC 1. I think it was, like, Gracie versus Shamrock. And I remember watching it, and it was so long because I don't think they had the rounds. It was long. And I kind of lost interest. And then I remember being told about I remember going to Vegas, and a friend of mine was like, hey, I know Greg Jackson, you know, and Rashad Evans was fighting for the title. And I was like, well, I mean, I think I can help them with an IV because I knew they was dehydrating themselves. And I was like, well, I can give the guy an IV if you would like, because I was just being friendly. And I remember showing up to the MGM and was kind of like, what is, like, it was crazy to me. And I remember Greg like, hey, like, come over here, I'll get mobbed. And I remember going up to Rashad's room and giving him an IV. And I just remember at that moment, like, okay, this is interesting. And then I was kind of like, hey, you know, can I come to the fight? And I don't know if I went to that fight or not. I may have. I'm not sure. And then the next one came. And then there was the WEC. And so eventually, like, being around it and the energy from the fans and watching the fights, I was like, holy shit, this is kind of cool. And so constantly being like, hey, sleeping on floors and buying tickets or sneaking in or doing what I did, I finally was like, hey, Bert, man, I kind of want to be a part of this show. Can you help me out? I was like, I'm a paramedic. You know, I would be good I don't want to fight, but I could be good. I'm good with blood and stuff like that, you know, being a paramedic, and this would be a natural fit. And I remember asking Stitch, we were in Corpus Christi. I remember asking Stitch and Rudy and those guys how to become a cut man. Was there a class? And Stitch made the joke like, I went to public school. And then he's like, you want to learn how to be a cut man? Buy my book. And I was just like, okay, I never bought the book, but I asked other people about it. And then, like I said, Bert was like, learn how to wrap hands. Mike Winklejohn showed me how to wrap hands. Then I did his for a minute. I watched YouTube and then Trevor Whitman and, you know, Bob Ware, Rudy Hernandez, Don House. So many guys have shown me how to wrap hands and just, hey, it's whatever. So any people that I even tell people, you know, if there's a guy out there that's watching this that knows how to wrap hands really good and is like, yeah, this technique is great, I've seen this, send it to me and show me, man. I love learning. So, I mean, my wrap is not set in stone. If I can find another wrap that looks good and guys are comfortable with it, I'll try any wrap. So I love learning. And that's the one thing I can also say, like, with the popularity of the UFC and everyone reaching out and, hey, you know, this and that, there's a lot of people that are not in the big shows that have a lot of great advice on stopping cuts and working swelling, and I'm all ears, man. So if they listen to your podcast and they got advice, or send it away, brother. I'm all like, please don't feel like I think I know everything. I love learning, and I'm a big fan of the sport. So if somebody can teach me something, hey, I'm all ears, man.
Brad, I'm gonna ask you a hard question. So I was watching the Piotr Song Yadong fight, and you know the moment where Piotr looks at his glove and he goes, "There's some tape missing," like. and you know, there's the tapes like atrophying. And I wanted to ask you, I've seen this so many times. What do you think causes that with the UFC gloves? Is it the fact that there's just so much sweat and friction from the fighting that the tape just, it's just inevitable that it's going to go out? Or is there
No.
just little mistakes that cause stuff to happen?
So I wrapped Peter's hand, and that was on me. I think I cut it too deep because you gotta understand, like, he doesn't like they're really specific on how fighters love their hands wrapped a certain way. And like if they're gonna wrestle or whatever, these guys now are like, I don't want a lot of padding, or I don't want this. And so when you wrap the hand like you're used to and you go, and then you do it, they're like, oh, well, this is too tight or this is not right, and you start cutting things. You cut into the wrap, and then actually, when you do that, the wrap will come apart in a glove, and that's kind of what happened there. It was unfortunate, and I do feel bad. I haven't met Peter to even apologize to him and be like, hey, but you know, that's definitely common when you get a lot of those guys when you wrap their hands and they keep making you make cuts to the wrap because it's like too tight or it's not tight enough or the thumb is not setting right, and then you end up doing that kind of stuff. But with that being said, he got the win. I'm very happy about that, and I'm glad that his hands were not injured. So, you know, I'll live to fight another day.
How often are fighters giving you recommendations as into what they want their wraps to be? Like, how specific are fighters about that?
I ask when I sit down because, again, I'm there for them. So from the moment I get in to wrap a hand, I want to know what this guy's game plan is. What are we doing? How do you want this? And we go from there. But the wrap is for him. I'm there for the guy. I'm there for the fighter. So it's not this thing where like I know everything and I'm gonna give you what I want. You know, the first thing you got to do is you got to humble yourself and be like, hey, man, you're going out there to fight. What do you need me to do? You know, how do you want this? How do you feel like this? And some guys come up with some creative ways to wrap their hands or how they want their hands wrapped. And again, like I said, it's my job to facilitate and make that fighter as comfortable as possible and to protect his hands and make sure that they don't break, you know, and make sure he's able to grapple or strike or whatever it is he wants to do with them.
You know that UFC tape, the little band-aid ones that go over the wrap. How important are those like utensils, seeing that I've had my hands wrapped with just normal wraps. I've never had the little tape though put on.
Where's it at on the hand? Where are you talking about? Where at?
It's like, you know how there's a little band-aid, it's this big and they're called UFC, and they put the little ones in like wherever.
Okay. That's actually very important for your hand. The whole wrap is designed to protect the hand, you know. So everything in that wrap and everything with that tape is going to stop. I want to say that goes to hold it. So everything, like anything that you see in a wrap, whether it be boxing or any kind of combat sports, that wrap is designed to protect the hand and stop it from breaking. So it's definitely very important. I'm sure some guys can get away with it without putting it in there, but I wouldn't chance it if it was me. I would always try to figure out a way to put it in there and make it work.
So, is there a real science behind wrapping hands, do you think?
It's a science and an art. Again, like I said, to me, that's one of the most important things you can do is wrapping hands. So it's definitely something that you need to take your time. I wouldn't recommend you rushing through it. And you got to understand, like, you're there with the fighter. It's you there. I mean, at that point, you're there for that guy. You know, you're not talking to the coach. He's not talking to anybody. It's you and him. And y'all are kind of figuring this out. So when you go to wrap his hands, man, you got that guy for like 5 to 10 minutes. And you kind of want his undivided attention because if he can't fight, then he can't make money. So I think wrapping hands is pretty damn important. You know, like I think that is what makes you an effective cut man is if you can wrap the fighter's hands and keep him in the fight. You know, because I mean, it's a blood sport. I mean, yes, you don't want cuts. But at the end of the day, fans want the cuts. They like the blood. They like getting in the cage. They like seeing blood on the mat. But if a guy breaks his damn hands, I mean, not only can he not fight, but it takes him out of commission for some time.
What was your time like as a paramedic?
It was enjoyable. I liked it. I mean, I love medicine. I love the body. So I love learning. I love seeing things and going about that. And it was fun. I mean, I love the lights and sirens. It was like being a kid. I mean, I'm fortunate because I've always picked careers that I really enjoy. And so it brings me a lot of joy. And it's really not like work to me, you know, even when it's supposed to be work. It's a lot of laughs and a lot of smiles.
What do you think about the fans that ask you to do the Vaseline on them at the show?
I've done it twice. So I did it once on this little kid and I was like, okay. And then I did it in Mexico City. And it's fun to interact with the fans, man. I love interacting with the fans. I love it. I mean, I love them. They make me laugh because they say some outlandish stuff and I'm just like, all right. And again, you're there to have fun. So I want to enjoy that moment. But I just, for the life of me, I'm just like, why do they want this damn grease on their face? You know what I'm saying? But like, I love it, man. I think it'll start. I'll probably do it again. And, you know, I may wrap a fan's hands because at the end of the day, man, the fans is what matter. They're there and they're there to see the cuts. They're there to see the fights and they're there to have a good time. And you don't know what someone's dealing with, man. So if a fan wants me to write grease on his face and that's going to make him smile, then I'm going to do it. I mean, because, man, at the end of the day right now, I'm just in it for to make laughs and make memories and have a great time doing it. So, you know, I still, like, even when I posted, I was like, I don't understand why, but here you go, you know, and it's fun, man. So, like, seeing it and seeing how guys do, I actually start to like it. And, I mean, I embrace anything with the fans, as long as it's not too crazy. But I love interacting with the fans. I love interacting with it at the weigh-ins. I love talking to them. I love shaking their hands. And I just love, I love it, man, because it's fun because you learn a lot from people. And people really are passionate. People really care. So why not? You know, why not is my biggest question.
The debut that I was really impressed with was Michael Venom Page. I actually couldn't believe how well he did. I saw your photo with him. So what did you think about him as a person and how'd you react to his debut?
Well, Michael Venom Page was, I mean, the guy is confident, super humble, super nice, full of smiles. He's a very good showman. I love Kevin Holland. Kevin Holland is, again, he's a good guy. I love Kevin. Like, Kevin makes me laugh. Like, even when I see Kevin, he's always full of smiles too. So watching those two guys fight each other, It was very entertaining, but I mean, Michael Venom Page is definitely, I mean, he's who he is for a reason. So, I mean, I definitely think he's going to get some more fights in the UFC and we're going to see. I feel like, you know, he stepped up and did what he needed to do on that night. And like I said, I feel like, Kevin's going to become a better fighter because of the fight as well. Because you learn a lot from losing. But as far as Michael Venom Page, man, one of the nicest guys I've ever met. He's a pleasure to work with. And I think he's got a very bright future with the UFC.
How's your treatment been like at the UFC? What can you tell us about that?
Again, it's a family. Man, it's fun. Like, I go see those guys. And like I told you, my personality is I'm always smiling and I'm always talking shit. Always. And I say this to people, if I talk shit to you, it means I like you. That's my love language. So like Rudy and me are always cussing each other out and fighting, but you would swear like we hate each other, but I love that guy. He's like a brother to me. I can't wait to see him tomorrow. We'll go eat and go watch a movie. But when I say the word family, I don't say that loosely. We the guys are combatants and they fight, but once the fight's over, everybody cares about them and everybody's like, hey, are you good? And that's it, man. We want to put on a good product. We want to put on a good show. And that's kind of something that I love that Dana and them have sold us on is like actually putting on good shows. So everybody takes pride in that. Hey, we want to be like that. It's the best or whatever. We take pride in that. So we want to put on a good show, but we all care about each other. Hey, how's your family doing? Hey, you know, because we're all people. Like fights happen on Saturday, but people have lives 24/7 and life happens. So, you know, somebody has a loss in the family. It's like, hey man, are you good? You know, we'll rally to hold their back. Hey man, you know, go take care of your loved ones. Go take care of your family. We got this. Don't worry about it. So when I tell you the word, when I think of UFC, I think of family, and that's not loosely used. we truly are a family. We check on each other. You know, if we have a stint where there's not, you know, maybe a week or two where we don't have a fight, we're calling each other, hey, how you doing, whatever. You know, it's kind of crazy when you don't have a fight because you have a Saturday off and you're like, what do I do with myself? So you're just used to seeing everybody. You're used to seeing each other in the hotel. And it's, you know, you meet these guys, you learn about these people who had a baby, what they're dealing with, and all that kind of stuff. So it's a family, you know, a family with a lot of cousins, aunts and uncles, and nieces and nephews.
What's a fight that you remember that you were shocked when you looked at how much blood and how much gore happened in the fight? Do you remember one?
I remember when Kane and Bigfoot fought.
Yeah.
And that was insane. Like, to see that man bleed like that and just be like, you know. And that was before they let you have, like, octagon tours. I would have loved to have gotten in there after that one. But I just remember blood. I was like, oh, and he was, like, in his eyes and he was just squinting. I was just like, so it's kind of funny. Like, when I even show people, like, blood, I bring that one up. I remember Rory McDonald and
Robbie.
That was another one with the lip split and, like, blood. I was like, oh, my goodness gracious. So. I definitely remember those fights, man. Those things stick out in your head like, wow, like, did I just see this? Like, is this person dizzy or woozy? But, I mean, again, man, it just, there's no fights are ever the same. It really isn't. So every time you go there, it's something different, and you just be prepared for something to happen that you just was like, oh, that's the first. I've never seen that before.
With the blood, BJ Penn used to, like, knock his opponent out, and then he had the blood on the glove and he would lick it. Now, I want to ask you, seeing that you know about health, I'm worried about blood because recently I went to a gym, I got a staph infection, I got really sick, I had to go to hospital, right? So I've been worried about blood because I don't want to get, like, sick again. So I'm confused as into how he was able to drink someone else's blood and not get sick.
One, he didn't drink it. I mean, he licked his gloves off. But two, those guys are all tested. And, I mean, there's no rhyme or reason, man. There's no reason why this person gets COVID, this person doesn't get COVID, this person does this and that. So I can tell you that I know those guys are tested. So nobody's getting in a cage with tainted blood or STDs or something like that.
Yeah, I know, but regular blood, I heard that it's not good to, you know, I have it in your mouth or whatever.
Like, I would never do that. But again, it's BJ Penn. Like, I'm not going to tell BJ Penn what not to do. I mean, you just spent 15, 25 minutes rolling around in another guy's sweat and blood. So I'm sure blood got in his mouth somehow. But I mean, like I said, again, I don't know why it didn't. And I don't think that was a concern to him at the time. But I mean, it makes for good sports. I mean, I guarantee you can Google it or look it up on YouTube and there's some crazy fucker somewhere going like, oh, my God, that's awesome. So, I mean, it's all part of the show.
What about dried blood? I heard if you have dried blood on your, you know, gloves or your bag that you take to the gym, I heard that that's pretty bad.
Well, yeah, I mean, you do understand blood. Like, just because it's blood, it doesn't mean, like, it can't be infectious, whatever. I mean, it still has DNA and all that stuff, but I mean, for the most part, man, we're very sterile. So, I mean, if I get blood on my gloves while in the fight, I'm going to change them out and get new ones. I mean, again, we're not running around and just in blood and just like, oh, my God, like transferring blood everywhere. I mean, we definitely try to be clean. So after guys roll around in the mats now, post-COVID, they come in, they wipe the mats, they do everything they can. So I don't know what goes on at gyms. I know for the show, we're as sterile as possible, even cleaning the mats after guys roll on it and that kind of stuff. And if I work a fight and get blood on me, I change the gloves out and all that kind of stuff.
Let me ask you about the unprovoked attacks that Gilbert does to you. How often does this happen, and are you prepared for these?
I'm never prepared for this, man. Like, listen, I love the fans, and they're like, oh, listen, Gilbert Burns is a bad motherfucker. So if he does whatever he wants, I mean, he could tell me he's going to attack me. There's nothing I'm going to be able to do. I mean, yes, for a little bit, I'm like, maybe can be a little bit stronger. But when I get tired, it's just going to, you know, I can wrestle. I can goof off and wrestle all I want. I'm just going to get choked out tired. So, I mean, but he is a bully. But I will be honest, I deserve it because I talk so much shit to Gilbert and all those guys. It's like I'm like the older big brother that's just constantly poking, and then they snap, and I'm like, whatever. So, and for some reason, man, there's always a camera around when it happens. Like, to the point now where they're just like, Tate and Gilbert are going to end up doing some dumb shit. He didn't beat me up this last time, but Almeida did, which I'm like, now that's starting. So every time I see him, we got to wrestle. So but I love it. I always tell the Brazilians, I'm like, is that how y'all say y'all love me? Is by beating me up. But, I mean, listen, they're all taking it easy on me. They've never injured me. I mean, Gilbert kind of did crank my neck one time, and it hurt for like 3 months. I was like, I would never be an MMA fighter. But for the most part, man, they have fun. They take it easy. But it's just, listen, if they wanted to, like, get me out of there, they could. So, but they take it easy on the old man. And then next week, I'm in there talking shit again. So I bring it on myself. I talk shit to them all the time.
Did you see the Mexico City UFC brawl? Did you see that?
That was funny. I love that shit. That was crazy. That was. I think I posted it. That was hilarious.
I'm actually disappointed that World Star's not around anymore because that shit was one of the best fights I've seen ever.
Bro, it was crazy because it just happened and then everybody just was like, fight's over. Like, that was the crazy part about it. Like, not the fight in itself, because I've been at MMA fights where, like, it's all chaos. But the fact that there was a fight and then everybody just went back to their respective seats and nobody had to say anything was like, okay, like, all right. I mean, hold my beer. That shit was funny, man. That was the thing that was shocking to everybody there was like, they just stopped fighting and everybody went back and watched the fights. Yeah, no problem. But the fans there were amazing, man. Like, that was, I hope we go back to Brazil. I mean, not Brazil. I love Brazil. But I hope we go back to Mexico City soon, man. That was a great atmosphere, and the fans were so amazing. They were just, it was a good feeling, man. I liked it. It was a great vibe.
When were you in that attack helicopter?
Oh, that was a long time ago, man. I think that was probably when I first started doing MMA. We used to do, like, Fight for the Troops, and I think that was somewhere in Kentucky where we got to do that. So it was over 10 years, but it was fun. It was cool. I used to like doing that, too. Fight for the Troops was amazing.
Do you think they should bring that back?
I mean, it's their monkey, their show. They do whatever they want. I just go where they tell me. I enjoyed it. So, I mean, but again, the sport is forever changing, man. And again, I work for them. So I enjoyed it. I mean, I wouldn't be disappointed if they would. But, I mean, we got a lot of stuff going on now. So, I mean, they know what they're doing, man. And I'm just along for the ride and having a great time.
Final question for the show is, has anyone ever accused you of tampering raps?
No, nobody's ever done that. And again, I'm an independent contractor for Zuffa and the UFC. So there's been times I've wrapped a guy's hand and then ripped and wrapped his opponent. So, like, there's no, like, listen, that doesn't work over here with us because we're basically here and contracted by the UFC. So there's no bias in it, again. So nobody's ever complained about the wraps. Some guys might say they're too tight or too thick, but nobody's ever accused me of doing something from one fighter and another. And I'd be honest with you, I would never do that. I mean, that's not me. So I'm not going to do something to give a fighter an advantage, like my reputation. And something like that would, like, end my career. So there's no way in hell I would ever do that.
That's all we have time for, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Brad, for coming on the show. Is there any final remarks you want to say to the fans at home?
No, man. I hope you guys enjoy it. Hit me up on Instagram, @that_damn_Tate. Let me know what you think and just reach out to me. I try to respond to everybody and have a conversation with people. So, you know, feel free. I love talking to people and I love interacting with people.
Follow Brad on Instagram, link in the description, and follow Anything Combat. We will see you guys next time. Bye-bye.